Hello and welcome to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash. And today we're going to have a different kind of show. I'm going to talk about the virtues, and these are characteristics of peace, basically, and go through how they, what they look like, how you can act on them, and work with your family and your colleagues on exemplifying them to the world and create a world of peace. So, as always, I open with a quote, and then I have a Peace Brain meditation at the end of the show. So, please stay tuned for that. That's going to be amazing. So, today, I opened with a quote by Robert Collier, and it says, "Any thought that is passed on to the subconscious often enough and convincingly enough is finally accepted." So, think about that for a moment. In other words, when we think about something long enough and convincingly enough, we believe it. We really believe it. So this can be, I'll say, good and bad in a way. It is something, if I convince myself that something is true and say it enough, well, that could be a great thing. I could be working on a new quality for myself, and I've actually embodied it then. Or it could be something like the racial slurs that happen or discrimination that we throw out there to other people or that are said to us, and we start to believe it. So that could be a bad thing that is said often enough and convincingly enough. So think about that. How do you form your beliefs? And what are some of your beliefs that you believe are true that your subconscious has taken on? That's something to examine, and we'll actually get into that today too, a little bit later on in the show. So what do I mean by virtues? Well, there's actually a group that has put together a guide and a virtues, sort of a deck of cards and a book for educators and for families. And it's called virtuesproject.com. It's been around for probably 20 to 30 years and used in countries all over the world. These are the qualities of peace. These are the qualities that we each want to embody to become our best selves, to become something that, you know, how can I actually be on purpose and how can I go through my day in peace and harmony and with assertiveness and acceptance of others and accountability and devotion and with my idealism, you know, intact. These are all virtues that I just talked about, examples of them. So let's talk about that. When we develop ourselves as we're growing up, we have certain values that are put on us by others, that our parents and our ministers and our teachers and our peers say are true. And we take that on as the truth. It is said, as Robert Collier says, it is said often enough and convincingly enough that that's how we should be. So know that when I embody a quality or you embody a quality, that becomes part of who you are. But truly, we are each, and I say but, because truly we are each divine souls in a human body. We have the capacity to be whomever we choose. So you have the capacity to choose to be a kind person and open doors for the people you run into who are walking with you in a line, you know, going into a store. Or you have the capacity to choose to be a mean person and not nice, to slam into doors and to grumble all day. And so these are choices we each have, obviously, every day at every moment. When we stop and think, all right, I'm here in a lifetime to do something really amazing, and it could be that I'm simply in a normal job and I'm working an 8-to-5 existence, but I'm still doing a service. And how can I be best at that service? How can I actually accomplish my work goals, my then family goals, and my personal goals in the greatest of ease and with freedom and choice, and really have that accomplishment at the end of the day and feel like I've made a difference? I think this is really what we're all looking for. We're looking to make life a little easier, to feel like we've actually accomplished something by the end of the day and it hasn't been a meaningless existence. So these virtues that I want to talk about today, or these qualities of peace, are really important to start to embody and to go through and realize that we do have choice. I have a choice of whether I'm going to be kind to that person or not. And kindness is a virtue, by the way. It is one of these. They do have a wonderful deck of cards, and I invite you to check out virtuesproject.com and go to their shop and look at the guides, you know, as I said, the family guides, educator guides, and the deck of cards particularly that are really useful to use with your family, or if you're a teacher, certainly, in your classroom. Also, just even as a coworker in your workplace, pull out a card and say, okay, what card calls to me today? And so I've actually got a deck here, and I'm going to do that. This one showed up. It's called gratitude. Well, we've all heard about that virtue or that quality of peace. Gratitude is very important. And so on the card, it has a little bit about that virtue, and then a quote, and then how to practice it. So I'm going to read you this card to give you an example. Gratitude is a constant attitude of thankfulness and appreciation for life as it unfolds. Living in the moment, we are open to abundance around us and within us. We express appreciation freely. We contemplate the richness of our life. We feast on beauty. We notice small graces and are thankful for daily gifts. In life's trials, we seek to understand, to accept, and to learn. Gratitude is the essence of genuine happiness. It is a virtue we can never have too much of. Gratitude is a continual celebration of life. Wow, that's really nice. Points out how important gratitude is. And then the quote on the back of the card is from Dennis Waitley, and it says, happiness cannot be traveled to, owned, earned, worn, or consumed. Happiness is the spiritual experience of living every minute with love, grace, and gratitude. Take a breath. That's pretty good. And it says, the practice of gratitude, I am grateful for my life. I perceive the blessings in each moment. I continually express appreciation. I reflect on the good things of life. I find value in my tears, in my tests. I'm sorry, it's tests. Interesting, I said tears, though. I find value in my tests. I celebrate abundance. I am happy. And the affirmation at the bottom is, I am thankful for the gift of gratitude. It is the magnet of my joy. Interesting. So these cards talk about the virtue, the practice, the affirmation, and the quote. So think for a moment, what are you grateful for? Well, I am very grateful you're on this call today. You're on this radio show, and you're tuning in to the Peace Brain Show. And learn about how to bring in peace to your life and how we can do this. And certainly, as we all know, gratitude is a big part of that. goodness. So being grateful for lots and lots and lots of things. I know there's lots of practices out there, people saying, okay, make a gratitude list for the day, for the week, for the year. And so let me think. What am I grateful for today? And you can do this too. Well, I could come up with a nice list, obviously. Family, friends, home, health, ability to speak, walk, talk, hear, see all the wonderful things, have food, funds, and fun in my life. Lots and lots of things and lots of people to be grateful for. So you get the picture. So that's what we're talking about today, is the beautiful attributes of these virtues and how I can choose to wear them. And so let me explain that for a moment. I like to think about my energy field, because you know I'm both a scientist and an energy worker, that we have this physical body, and then we have our energetic body, both, of course, within the physical, but also around our physical body. And that becomes, as some people call it, your aura, your biofield, and it is full of your energy that you put out there to the world, that people actually see. So how many times have you walked past a person and gotten just a vibe from them, gotten, wow, you know, that person's really sad today, or that person seems like I want to avoid them because they've got some drama going on, they've got some negativity, they're being a little aloof, or, wow, this person is really attractive, and I don't mean just physically, but I mean attractive energetically, and is really like, wow, I need to talk with them. I need to, like, connect with them. There's something here that I would like to learn more about. So we get these vibes of our energy when we're in our workplace, in our family, in our community, doing whatever we're out there doing. And these are the words, if you will, or the vibrations that we each carry each moment of our day. So I can choose to be happy, as we just talked about, and in gratitude. Or I could choose to be grumpy. I could choose to be miserable or to be complaining or backbiting to my friends about somebody else. But how would that feel? I'm always in charge of my own attitude and my own energy. So think about it. When we walk and we want to create peace in the world, when we walk in the world, then I have the ability to walk through the world in peace and grace and gratitude, as we just read, and that's going to not only influence me and my physical makeup, which actually it does, and we might get into that in a few minutes, of how actually our thoughts create our not only our energy field, but they affect the hormones and the different systems of the body and can really even change our DNA. So our DNA is affected by our thoughts. Think about that. We'll get into that a little bit later. But know that as I walk in a certain attitude, a certain consciousness, that these words actually can be a tool to use to change that attitude to something more positive if we desire to do that. So if I'm getting up in the morning and I'm grumpy and I'm not very happy, I could choose to say, oh, gratitude, what am I grateful for? And make a list. And that actually changes my vibration. It changes the way I would walk forward and start my day. So that is why, obviously, practicing listing what you're grateful for in the morning or at the end of the day, as you go to sleep, is a great practice to journal and do that. So let's get into some other, well, actually, I want to look up in this book. I am looking up in the family guide here just to see what else it says about gratitude, since we actually drew that card at the moment. Interesting. All right. So the family guide has 52 guides in it. 52 virtues in it, and the card deck actually has 100. So the one I pulled from was 100, and gratitude is not in the book. But there are some wonderful other ones. For example, gentleness. This is when I went to the G's. This is the one that I found. Gentleness is a very interesting concept of peace or virtue. So we're switching over here to gentleness. There's a wonderful action that actually talks about it in the book is, you know, if someone is reprimanding their child to don't hit Johnny or don't hit the dog to their child. Rather than saying don't do something you that's negative, that you don't want someone to do, it's really wonderful to start practicing saying the positive about what you want people to do, or obviously what you want yourself to do. So saying be gentle to a child or to someone is much more effective than saying don't hit or don't do that. You know, don't pull his ear. We have two puppies right now that were birthed from our male and female dog that we have, and we decided to keep these two puppies. We sold the rest of the litter. But these brother and sister are really bonded to each other, and they tug at each other. They run around and, you know, they just do what puppies do. And they pull each other's ears, and they growl, and they pull their tails, and they bite their legs, and all kinds of fun things. But notice, when puppies play, they really are being gentle. It's very interesting. There's a limit there. And, of course, if you cross the limit, a puppy squeals, cries out, and the other one goes, oh, wait, sorry. I got a little too rough here, and stops. And so then they go back to the rough and tumbling and growling. But it's very gentle. And I noticed the parents, too. Oh, my gosh. The father dog, the dad dog, really knows how to, if you will, reprimand his son, the puppy. The son is just all over the father. He loves his dad, and he puts his muzzle up in the dad's face and wants to just be right next to him. And the dad is very patient, and by the way, that's another virtue we'll talk about in a minute, patience. But the dad is really gentle, and he'll kind of growl a little bit, and then he'll snap gently, and then he'll grab the muzzle of the puppy, just hold it. Like, okay, you've been in my face too long, and it's time for you to settle down and let me have a little bit of peace here and get out of my face, you know? Which he does very gently, and then he lets go of the puppy, and the puppy goes, oh, okay, you know, and rolls over on his back and lets himself be, his face be licked by Dad, and Dad cleans his eyes and his ears, and very gently does this beautiful dance that the dogs do to know what's acceptable and what isn't. And they do it with gentleness. They do it with just enough firmness to get the point across. Wouldn't that be a really wonderful way to live? You know, dogs know how to do this in a family setting. And we can learn from that as well. So being gentle is a really wonderful quality of peace. And it says on here, so what is gentleness? Gentleness is acting and speaking in a way which is consistent and kind to others. It is using self-control in order not to hurt or offend anyone. Being gentle means to be very careful. You can be gentle with people and animals in the way you touch them and the way you speak to them. Being gentle with things means to be careful so that they will not break or be hurt in any way. Gentleness is moving wisely, touching softly, holding carefully, speaking quietly, and thinking kindly. That's a very interesting one, the end of that. So being careful. You know, this description of gentleness really points out that when we move slowly and we do something with purpose, that's the act of being gentle. So, you know, sometimes if I'm rushing about and getting ready for something, I may trip over or spill something. That's where clumsiness comes from, is actually when we're in a hurry. We're really not thinking about our actions. We're not acting consciously. And it's pointing out here that with gentleness, we have to act consciously. Very interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way. I just thought about the quality of a touch or quality of a word, but to really be conscious and present and to know your actions, like where you're going to be. And that makes me think about, again, the dogs. These are white dogs, and our kitchen tile is also white, or kind of mottled with a little bit of cream and tan in it. And when the dogs lay down on the tile, they kind of disappear. So if one is walking in the kitchen, you need to watch out that you don't step on a dog. And they're not very big dogs. They're only 15 pounds, 12 inches at the shoulder, that type of thing. So these dogs can get hurt if you don't watch out where you're going. And I know that particularly with the puppies, they like to lay under the kitchen table among all the legs of the chairs because it feels safe. It's kind of like a cave. But one has to, you know, you have to watch as you're going to sit down to eat breakfast or something and pull the chair out that there's not a dog on the floor underneath you. So being gentle would be an act of actually paying attention and knowing that when I pull the chair out, I don't do it just without thinking and very quickly, that I actually look down and do it very slowly and move it around a dog if a dog is there, or ask the dog to move, obviously, if it's in my way, but do it gently. So there's a quote on gentleness, and it says, "Love and affinity are the fruits of a gentle disposition, a pure nature, and a praiseworthy character." Okay. So it says, how do you practice gentleness? So this is from the book, and it says, what would gentleness look like? Well, first of all, back into the practice. You practice gentleness by first going inside and deciding that you do not want to hurt or offend anyone or anything. Then you learn to control yourself, your body, your mind, and your voice. Just what we're talking about. You try hard to be careful, full of care. You notice what your body, hands, and legs are doing and make an effort to move carefully. When you play with someone, you make sure you're not hurting them. When you play with a toy, you treat it carefully so it will not break. When you say something, you say it in a way that does not hurt the listener's feelings. When you feel mad or hurt, instead of blowing up and hurting someone else, you can use your voice to talk things out peacefully. You can control yourself so that you don't hurt others, even when you feel angry. Concentrate your thoughts on love and kindness, and people will see the gentleness in your eyes. There you go. That's what we're talking about. Being mindful and aware and really being in that place of love and kindness and gentle, like the daddy dog is to his son, puppy. So it says, it asks you the question, so I'm going to pose this to you. What would gentleness look like if you wanted to touch or hold a baby? Just think about that. How would you hold a baby? You'd probably do it pretty gently and carefully. Okay, next, you have something to tell your friend which you think might hurt his feelings. How would you do that gently? Good question. Here's another example. You walk in from school and start to slam the door. All right, just as we were saying, you would stop and actually be gentle with the door. Okay, the next one. Your pet has been hurt and needs to be carried into the house. Wow, has anyone ever experienced that? I know I have. Just picking them up very gently. And the last one, you're wrestling too roughly with a friend. Yeah, how to step back and be gentle. Good job. All right. So you can practice gentle if you make it safe for animals and people to be around you. You touch carefully, speak with a soft voice, express feelings peacefully, take time out when you don't feel gentle, think gentle thoughts that make you smile inside. So those are good things. And the affirmation is, I am gentle. I think, speak, and act with gentleness. I show care for people and for everything I touch. All right. So you get the idea. These virtues, these qualities of peace, are vibrations. So put on that gentleness hat, for example. I like to play this game. This is a game of hats. And they're really all words, as we were talking about a few minutes ago, that when I actually embody the attitude of gratitude that we were talking about at first, or the attitude of gentleness, that I become that vibration in my energy field. So let's play a game and create a hat that goes on your head that's a gentleness hat. and pretend like you're a kid here and you're really in art class and you're doing something creative and there is no right or wrong. You're in kindergarten, you're just playing. And you've created a hat that is gentleness, that embodies gentleness. What would it look like? Think about how you'd create this hat. And think about its texture. It might be really soft and fuzzy and warm. What color would it be? So look at the texture, the color, the size, the shape of your hat, your gentleness hat, and now put it on your head. And feel the vibration of gentleness, just as if you had written the word gentleness on the top of your crown chakra, on the top of your head, because you were wearing that hat on the top of your head, on your crown chakra. This is what people see and feel about you. Whatever words are on top of your head, really, that you're wearing in your hat, your halo, your crown, that's what you exude out to the world. That's what they see and feel. So whenever you want to change your attitude and your actual vibration, just envision a new hat that you're putting on. So now I'm wearing my gentleness hat, and I feel gentle. And if I were to touch something, I do it gently. If I say something, I'm saying it gently to you. So feel that vibration of gentleness and allow that to permeate, maybe as a color, whatever color you think gentleness might be for the moment. And allow that color to flow down into your body. We're just going to do this little exercise like honey or molasses and let it flow through every cell of your body. So soaking up, every cell soaking up the quality, the vibration of gentleness. So take a breath and really do that. Bring it in from head to toe and all the way through your entire physical body. And then out into your energy field around you that's about arm's length all the way around you as a bubble. And so your whole bubble, if you will, is your arc field, is filled with the quality and the color of gentleness. And take a breath. And breathe that in and feel gentle. Good job. Good job. Okay. And if you choose to do this with gratitude, let's also create a gratitude hat, a grateful hat. I am grateful, or I am in gratitude. What would a hat of gratitude look like? Wow. I know my mom just popped up with like flowers and a garden and and a beautiful sky and bird singing, all in a hat. And so put that hat on and feel that vibration of gratitude. That's really different than gentleness. And then allow that vibration to flow through your body, maybe as another color, from your head to your feet and out into your field around you. Good job. All right, there's another one I want to go through here that's really important. And this one gets a bad rap, I think, sometimes. In the world of virtues, or the world of what it is to be peaceful. And it's assertiveness. Assertiveness. So I know sometimes when we talk about being assertive, people are thinking about aggression, and it has nothing to do with aggression. Assertiveness is really standing up for yourself. It's being in that positive vibration of I'm going to speak my truth, I'm going to be assertive, I'm going to be heard and seen, I'm going to be on purpose. So these are all things that assertiveness is really about. It's about what, well, let me read it. In the book it says, what is assertiveness? Being assertive means to be positive and confident. It is knowing that you deserve respect. Assertiveness begins by being aware that you are a worthy person created by God. You have your very own special gifts. You only have your unique combination of qualities. only you have your unique combination of qualities. When you are assertive, you tell the truth about what is just. You don't follow others. You think for yourself. If someone is trying to hurt you, lead you into trouble, or influence you to do something you feel is wrong, you protect yourself. You show the strength not to let others hurt you or influence you in negative ways. Assertiveness is asking for what you want and need. Assertiveness is expressing your own ideas, opinions, and talents. When you do this, you serve the world in your own special way. You're using the gifts that God gave you. So take a breath. Interesting. Assertiveness. It's really about speaking up for yourself, saying what you need, expressing your opinions, being who you are. So this is a really important one here, because to be who we are is sometimes the hardest thing we can do. Think about that. Have you ever had a time where you're well, I'm sure you have, all of us have, especially when you're a teenager, and you're among a group of peers, and everyone is believing a certain way or spouting out an opinion about something, and you go, yeah, you know, I agree with that, when maybe you don't inside, or you just go along with the crowd because you want to be accepted and loved. Ah, goodness, this is the way much of the world works. We develop these cliques, we develop these, our tribe that we run around in, our people, and our people all think the same way as we do, perhaps, and I become a clone, if you will, of others. Well, that's not assertiveness. That's not being who each of us are and really shining your unique gifts to the world. So being assertive is being able to stand out in the crowd. It's being able to speak up for what's right and just. It's being able to say, you know, I have a different opinion. Not that you're knocking down anyone else's opinion, not that you're negating anyone else and what they feel or believe in, but being assertive is simply speaking up for oneself. So assertiveness is a quality that really is very positive and has this, as it's saying in here, essence of confidence. And we want this for our children, right? We want this for ourselves. So teaching assertiveness is actually a very good thing to teach our children and to practice within ourselves. Assertiveness can actually mean that something that's out of balance can be corrected because we see something that's out of balance and needs to be brought back into harmony and needs to be made just. So justice is really dependent on assertiveness of people to stand up for what's right, to stand up for what they believe in, and to do it with grace and love and gentleness, as we were just talking about. So it says in here, there's a quote, and this is actually from the Bible, from Luke. It says, "Are not five sparrows sold for two small coins? Yet not one of them has escaped the notice of God. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." So that points out our worthiness. You know, the practicing assertiveness, we must believe that we are worthy and we actually have something to say and to be assertive about. And that's really important, is to believe that you're worthy. I know that there are many things in life that can kind of get us down, that can make us question our worth. But step back for a moment and take that moment of peace, that moment of quiet and silence, and reflect that, yes, I am worthy. I can be me. And that's so hard sometimes for people to really stand up for themselves or to be different. So think about that for a moment. Think of when you were different. Yeah. And maybe people around you didn't like it. I know that for me, I took a class first, and then I was teaching at the Raw Food Institute here in Atlanta, Living Foods Institute. If you go to livingfoods.com, livingfoodsinstitute.com, you can find out more about it. But it's a class that teaches a person to eat vegan lifestyle, you know, vegetables, no animal products, and uncooked foods, so raw foods that are uncooked, so you get the full nutrition of the enzymes of the food. And so I took this class just mainly as a spiritual gift to myself. It wasn't like I had some healing crisis that I needed to address, which raw food, by the way, can address. Eating a vegetarian lifestyle, a vegan lifestyle, and uncooked, you're giving your body all your nutrients, helps the body heal faster from various diseases. But I took this class, and then I began doing some energy practice and consulting there with the clients, and I decided to eat this way for myself. So I would come home, and I'd chop up all my vegetables and marinate them and make these wonderful dishes, not just salads, you know. You're making these wonderful pâtés and putting them on dehydrated crackers that I would make, and making raw spaghetti, which is made out of zucchini noodles and wonderful tomato sauce that's all uncooked, and make my own hummus and crackers and really fun stuff. So I was having fun with raw foods. But then my husband takes me out to dinner. So what do you do when you go out to dinner and you eat only raw, uncooked vegetables and nuts and fruits? So my husband kind of looked at me like, you're not going to try to eat raw here, right? I mean, this is a great restaurant, and we're out celebrating something, and here you are. You're on this really peculiar diet that doesn't really mesh with society. And so how did I be assertive for myself? Well, I decided to say, you know, nothing on the menu was quite right, unless I just wanted to have a salad, for example. So I said to the waiter, I said, okay, go to the chef and say, this is what I can eat. I can eat any kind of vegetables, nuts and fruits, uncooked. And have your chef be creative and come up with something. And they went back and talked to the chef and came back and said, yeah, the chef can make you up something. That sounds great. Do you mind being surprised? And I said, no, this is great. Thank you. And when the chef came out with the dish, and actually the chef personally came out with this dish, it was this beautiful, oh my gosh, piece of artwork on a plate of all these cut vegetables and marinated and just beautiful, from portobello mushrooms to carrots and zucchinis and just all kinds of wonderful vegetables cut up and arranged on the platter, on the plate, in these beautiful tower and colors. And I actually had to, like, take a picture of it. It was amazing. And the chef said, you know, thank you. That was really interesting to come up and create something with for you. So here, my husband was kind of in angst, because he was like, what are you doing to this poor chef? You're making them create this dish that is not on the menu and is probably a lot of trouble for them. And, you know, he had this, I want to be kind to the chef, don't make them do something out of the ordinary. And I was being assertive. I was actually standing up for myself and saying, all right, let's get creative here. I'm open to anything that is given to me. So I'm making demands in a certain way of what type of food I can eat, but I'm leaving it up to the creativity and the artistry of a chef as to what I receive, and I'm open to receive. So it was this beautiful dance that we did, this beautiful confirmation of here I am, able to eat my kind of lifestyle that I chose at that time, to eat this raw and vegetarian living foods type of, you know, sprouts and all those wonderful foods here for this dinner at this fancy restaurant. And here the chef was able to step out of their normal routine and use their creativity and artistry to create this beautiful dinner for me. And my husband was very impressed. He was like, okay, I get it. It's wonderful. And so we had an amazing, very enjoyable meal, and obviously one that made an impression on me and probably made an impression on that chef too. So this was being assertive. This was an act of that. So how can you be assertive in your life? Think about that. What are you not being assertive in? What area of your life have you not been assertive and spoken up for yourself or act on your true beliefs? That actually could be a win-win when you do. Excuse me. So, you know, my husband was thinking it was a win-lose, like I was trying to make demands and be aggressive, perhaps, on the chef, like, I will only eat this, you know, you have to give me this. And it would be a lot of trouble for someone to do that. But switch the thinking. How can you actually give someone an opportunity to support you in this new way? And by being assertive, by speaking the truth. So there's a couple of things here in the book that in this family guide, it says, what would assertiveness look like if you start to feel inferior around some really popular kids? So, you know, I'm sure every kid, all of us have felt that way at one point. You're around a really popular kid and we compare ourselves to that kid, and maybe I'm not as popular, so I start to feel inferior. So assertiveness might look like, well, I realize my talents, and I'm assertive to this is what I'm good at. I may not be good at playing a musical instrument, but I'm really good with numbers, and I can do math well. So it's being assertive in my confidence of myself, for example. Here's another example. An aggressive child starts to bully you. What would assertiveness look like? Well, I know that in the bullying conference that Auburn University puts on every year in June in the Atlanta, Georgia area of the United States, they talk about how they train kids to actually be assertive if a bully comes to them and stand up for themselves and say, you know, I don't deserve to be bullied. You're bullying me right now. You may not understand that you are, but you are. And so please stop. And that's the first thing, is to stand up and ask the person to stop the bullying. And if they don't, then walk away. Just be assertive in that you won't take it anymore, and you walk away. And there's other steps that they teach the children, but it's important to be assertive if someone does start to bully you. Stand up for yourself. Here's another example. Your teacher asks for the class for their opinions about a story he's just read. Oh, my goodness. I know I've been in the classes before when a teacher asks something and no one speaks up. Have you ever seen that? Everyone just doesn't want to talk about their opinions because we're all afraid to be judged. I think that's a human condition. Is what is that? What are other people going to think about me? What are they going to judge me for? What I say? So how would assertiveness look? And this is really, these are qualities that we use not only as children, obviously, but going forth in our workplace, in our home life, with our families, with our coworkers. It's really important to think about that. So would you be willing to share your opinion if someone asks your opinion, like this teacher asking the class about the story? And how then, let's think about another virtue or quality of peacefulness, which is tact or acceptance, for example. In other words, if you said something about that story or you spoke up about something at work, how am I to react to your assertiveness? Think about that. Some people would cajole or judge or, oh, no, that's not true, blah, blah, blah. But if I were to accept what you said, that's a whole nother virtue, acceptance. So actually, let's look at that for a second. I've actually got the card in my hand for acceptance. So being assertive sometimes, I would say, draws out non-acceptance. So as the listener, as the bystander, we need to support people being assertive. And this is what it could look like. Acceptance is embracing life on its own terms. We are open to what is rather than wishing for something different. We face the truth in all circumstances with honesty and courage. Acceptance helps us to bend without breaking in the winds of tests, to gather the lessons, to step forward with new wisdom and awareness. We affirm others and ourselves for the qualities we do have, and avoid judgments and criticism for what we don't have. Accepting myself allows me to give what I have to the world. Okay, so this really is wrapped up around what we were just talking about, assertiveness. If I accept myself and allow myself to give what I have to the world, then I am accepting of me and my talents. I can actually be assertive. And then if I'm the bearer or the person on the receiving end of that assertiveness, of someone's being honest with me and telling me what they really feel, then it says in here, you know, acceptance, I can bend without breaking in the winds of tests and gather the lessons and step forward to new wisdom and awareness. So I can actually have new wisdom if someone shares a different opinion with me. That's really an advantage. That's a positive to go forward and create a better world where we start to understand each other. We start to really know what the other person is feeling and how they believe maybe a solution to something we're trying to create can be found. And this, oh gosh, this opens up lots of doorways. I'm thinking about how we develop our world, how I'm thinking about new inventions, actually, is coming to my mind. That there's this wonderful book, I think I've talked about it in another show, called The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. And it's about a young man in, I want to say Rwanda, but that may not be true, but some country in Africa around there, like the Congo or Democratic Republic of Congo or Uganda or Rwanda, around there. Anyway, his village needed a well to bring up water, and they had a well, but they had no way of pumping the water up. And he had seen in a library book a windmill and realized that a windmill actually could then generate the ability to pump up the water so the village could have water from the well. But he didn't have the parts or the money actually to buy a windmill. No one did. So he realized that he could be creative and actually take bicycle parts and car parts and machine parts that were kind of laying around and build a windmill. And he did, and it worked. So he was being assertive and creative, obviously, to say, yes, I can do this. I can take these trash parts, if you will, and put them together into something that's very useful and creative and that actually benefits my whole community. And so he was being assertive, but it was a new way of thinking. And the people didn't at first accept it, but if they sat in acceptance, and by sitting in it, it is that energy, in other words, of acceptance, then they would realize, hey, maybe this can work. And obviously he persevered, which is another quality of peace, perseverance, another virtue, and it succeeded. And success is obviously another virtue too. So we live in these positive vibrations. We live in these virtues, if you will, or qualities of peace every day. We can choose to be that vibration of the virtues of acceptance, assertiveness, gratitude, tact, tolerance, or we can choose to be the opposite of the gentleness. We can choose to hit and throw tantrums and be judgmental. And how does that feel? You know, I just step back for a second. When I say those words, how do you feel? And I know we've all done it. We've all had those days of, oh, I just feel terribly grumpy and nothing is right with the world. And yet, when we have the power to stop for a moment and to really take assessment of what's going on and change that attitude, put on a new hat. And so now think about what hat you want to wear today. What hats do you want to wear? So this is, I'm going into our peace brain meditation here. I've given you examples and ways to use these virtues, these qualities of peace. Think about, as you go forth in your day today, whether it just be beginning or whether it's coming to an end, nighttime for some, mornings for others, that what do you want to embody? What energy do you want to put forth? So let me just read you off some of these virtues, just to give you an example. Idealism, independence, initiative, integrity, joyfulness, justice, kindness, love, loyalty, mercy, mindfulness, moderation, nobility, openness, optimism, orderliness, patience, peacefulness, perseverance, purity, purposefulness, reliability, respect, responsibility, righteousness, sacrifice, self-discipline, service, steadfastness, strength, tact, thankfulness, thoughtfulness, tolerance, trust, trustworthiness, truthfulness, unity, wisdom, wonder, zeal, acceptance, accountability, assertiveness, awe, beauty, caring, certitude, charity, cheerfulness, cleanliness, commitment, compassion, confidence, contentment, cooperation, courage, courtesy, creativity, decisiveness, detachment, devotion, dignity, empathy, endurance, enthusiasm, excellence, fairness, flexibility, forgiveness, friendliness, generosity, gentleness, grace, gratitude, helpfulness, honesty, hope, humility. Take a breath. I know that was a long list. Choose three that you want to wear today and create your hat of peacefulness, of whatever your virtues are, your qualities of peace, your virtues. And feel that energy of that word. Feel the quality. And notice what your hat looks like, its texture, its color, what things are on it, how creative you got with that hat. Again, be silly, be fun, be in kindergarten, play with this, and wear that hat and allow that energy of that word to flow through your body from your head to your feet into every cell of your being. Bring in the quality of that word, the quality of virtue, and allow it to flow out into your energy field so that this is what people see and feel and notice about you as you walk by them, as you interact with them, as you go throughout your day. They see your hat, not maybe its exact color or quirkiness, but they feel the vibration, the energy of that word, of that hat that you wear and embody. So take a breath. And really breathe in that quality of the virtues that you have chosen, those three words, whatever they may be. And now I challenge you to go throughout your day being aware of those words, being aware of the practice of whatever those qualities are, those virtues are. Think about how it would look when you practice those qualities, just as we talked about the ones here, the gentleness, the gratitude, the assertiveness, and what that looks like. So bring yourself back to your awareness of wherever you are, sitting in a chair, in your car, in your office, wherever it might be, listening to this radio show, and embody those words. Feel them within yourself and feel how your body relaxes into them. Excellent job. Good job. So So thank you. I want to thank you for tuning into the Peace Brain Show today to learn about the virtues, to these qualities of peace, and how you can bring them into your life and really start to walk in peace every day. So I thank you for tuning in. And if you want to find out more about me, Dr. Gail Lash, you can go to tourismforpeace.com or you can email me at hello@peacebrain.org. So now I invite you to go activate your peace brain, which of course you're doing right now with these qualities of peace, and go forth and really make your mark in the world and put your place of peace and what you're doing on the World Peace Trails map. Many, many blessings. Namaste.